You guys are, we're so glad you're here today. We have a guest speaker, Chad Weitzel. Chad, give a wave. He is from Grace Church in Hudson, Mass. He is a pastor there. He's absolutely passionate about sharing the gospel. He has a great sense of humor, as I learned this morning during our host meeting. He's married, has two daughters, little 6 and 8 year old girls, and he's just excited to be sharing with us a message on grace from Ephesians 2 this morning. So gear up. It's going to be great.
So my name is Chad. I grew up in the area. I grew up in Hudson, Marlboro area. I went to Gordon College. I've been a pastor at some different churches in the region. Right now I'm in Hudson, Grace Church in Hudson, loving it there. I do small groups and our welcome ministry and kind of oversee that stuff. I also preach some, and I really love telling people about Jesus. It's I don't know if there's anything else out there that I'd rather be doing than telling people about Jesus. So that's what I get to do today, and I'm really thankful to do that. A little bit about me. I grew up here. Like I said, my parents moved from Indiana when I was 10 months old to plant a church out here in Massachusetts, which during that time, I don't know if that was a great decision, but it was a God decision. And they came out, planted a church that I was part of growing up. And I have three siblings. I have an older brother, a younger sister, and a much younger brother, kind of like a pseudo-only child. He's 13 years younger than I am. But my older brother and I, growing up, we were always like super competitive. Like everything was like a challenge to see who could be faster, who could jump farther, who could run around the house more, who could not get in trouble the most. Like all those things that brothers do, you know, like everything was a competition for us. And it was a lot of fun growing up. We had a lot of good friends. One of our friends lived out in Lancaster, and it was kind of like in the middle of nowhere. They had a great sledding hill in the winter. In the summer, they had a train track that went like right behind their house. And as like a little boy, to see that train come through was just like so much fun. So we spent a lot of time over there. We actually ended up living with them for a little bit while my parents were looking for a house. But we love like putting pennies. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. I don't know if this is illegal. Okay. I see nods of heads. So you guys are all in it with me. We're all illegal together. But I used to take, you know, put a penny on the track and like let it squish it. Kind of a fun thing. And I don't know, just a lot of fun. So we were over there visiting once. And I think I must have been like, probably seven years old, and my brother was 9. And they had just done crushed rock driveway. I don't know if you guys have ever done that truck, just kind of put down crushed rock for a driveway. But they had a big dump truck that had come, dropped a pile of rocks, and the dump truck was still there. So as a little boy, like we went over to visit, and there's like this huge dump truck, which is just awesome, you know, to kind of like just go up and like try to climb inside or climb on top of whatever. But there's this huge pile of crushed stones. And so, you know, my brother and I got into a competition. We wanted to see who could throw stones the farthest. So I think that's like rule number one, don't throw rocks. But we broke that rule right away. So we're like picking up these rocks and we're throwing them. And we realized if we threw them up really high, we could get them back into the dump truck, you know, and it made like the coolest sound. You throw it up in the air, it's like, whee, ding, 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 you know, and kind of like ricochets around the echo. It's just that kind of a cool thing. And as a little boy, we're just like, throwing rocks right into the back of this dump truck, just having a good old time. I can throw it farther. I can throw it higher. See if you can stand behind this line and still make it in. Just throwing rocks into a dump truck. And, you know, probably like an hour passed. You know, we weren't making a lot of progress getting a lot into the dump truck. We were having a lot of fun, a lot of competition. So we were done. We're like, hey, let's go play on the train tracks or something. And so we walked around the dump truck and parked on the other side of the dump truck. Was my dad's baby. He had a 74 Chevelle Malibu Classic, candy red, white cloth top, white leather interior, just this beautiful car. It was like his last like bachelor car. He bought it brand new off the showroom floor. And it was his love before he loved me. Before he had me, he loved this car. He took care of this car. It was not a family car by any means, but it was like my dad's baby. I mean, I remember seeing him out there washing it and waxing it. And so we walked around the dump truck and there was my dad's first love. His beautiful car just demolished. When we'd be throwing these rocks over the dump truck, they were just smashing, ripping the roof, denting the hood. The windshield was completely spiderweb, like just smashed in. And I looked at my brother and I was like, we are dead. My dad loves this car, and we knew we were dead. And so my brother, he is the truth teller, and he's like, oh, we got to go tell dad. I'm like, no, we don't. We know that that train's going to pass here in about an hour. We can just grab onto that thing. We'll be out of town. Like, we don't have to. He's like, no, we have to tell Dad. And I was like, no, we cannot tell Dad. If we tell Dad, we are dead. We are completely dead. And that's where I want to start reading our scripture for today. I'm going to start reading in Ephesians 2, 1. I'm actually reading from the NLT, New Living Translation. So if you have that version, if you don't have that version, don't worry about it. Most versions are pretty similar. So go ahead and grab your Bible if you have it. I'm going to read Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of you used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. You see, my brother and I, we were just boys being boys. There's a pile of rocks. How do you expect us not to throw it into the dump truck? You know what I'm saying? Like, we were just following the inclinations of our little boy hearts to just throw rocks into this dump truck. But our actions were leading to something not good. And as scripture says, it was leading to death. And I knew throwing rocks into the dump truck, not leading to death. Throwing rocks at my dad's car, probably leading to death, right? And in all honesty, I mean, that's, it's hard. It's a hard lesson, but this is what it means. This is what the scripture is talking about. Even in our innocence, we do things that are against God's will. Before God, before that, we are just following the inclinations of our, this makes me happy. This brings me joy. But even those acts can lead to death. Even those acts, because if they're not aligned with God's will lead to death. And so all of us used to live that way, following these desires, following our inclinations. The world says you want that, go and get it. You know, get that job. You know, you don't like your wife, get a new wife. Like, just these desires that the world will say, that's not a bad thing. But those actions, those desires, those inclinations lead to death. And so all of us used to live that way. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger. Because we were disobeying his commands. We may not even be doing it willingly. Just like my brother and I, little boys throwing rocks. We didn't want to smash my dad's car. In fact, if you asked us, if we knew we were going to smash my dad's car, we wouldn't have done it. We knew it was wrong. But even in our innocence, we were doing things that were leading to death. And so this is where the story picks up. So my brother and I are standing there in front of a smashed up car that used to be beautiful. And my brother finally convinced me that we need to tell my dad. And so we walk up, because my parents are inside the house. And so we go up to the door and kind of like knock, as quiet as you knock when you know you're about to die. Like the quietest little, no one answered. All right, we're free. He didn't answer. That's on him. We're out of here. And they're like, no, you knock a little louder. And my dad came to the door. And he said when he saw us, we looked like pale as ghosts. We looked like we're, like, he's like, what happened? He's like, we're like, Dad, we got to show you something. So we let him outside, walked around the dump truck, and showed him his car. That was just completely smashed up. Windows, the hood, dings all over it. It was destroyed. And we stood there knowing coming judgment was coming. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I don't know, the lightning was going to come down. My dad was just going to explode and take us with him. I didn't know. But my dad looked at us and said, guys, I know you know what you did was bad. I know what you did was bad. But let me tell you about God's grace. Let me tell you about what Jesus did for you on the cross. And so my dad sat us down and told us about Jesus, how even though we deserve death, even though we deserve punishment, God sent his son Jesus to our rescue. That even though, you know, even in our innocence, we were doing things that were against God's will, but by even our very nature, our innocent nature, we deserve death. And yet God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to our rescue. And so I don't know what came over my dad. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm a dad now. And if my girls did something, I hope I would react the same way. And like, let's do this teaching moment. But I'm not sure I would. But my dad took that moment to tell us about God's great love through Jesus Christ and the grace that he has given us. That even though we deserve death, he has offered us life through his son, Jesus. That Jesus has taken our place. And so that's where I'm going to continue reading here in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 4. started with, you were once dead because of your disobedience. We were subject to God's anger. Verse 4, but God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God, so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we deserved death, he gave us life through his son, Jesus. It is an amazing promise. What that promise means is this, that despite the bad things I've done, despite my rebellion against God's will for my life, despite me wanting to do life my way, if I believe in Jesus, if I put my faith in Jesus, I am no longer dead, but I am now alive because of what God has done. And it repeats a couple of times that we are united with Christ. You see, for those of us that know Jesus, we are now united with him. That our life is now secure in him. That our identity is now in him. We now have a new life, a new identity that is now protected and unified with Jesus. So that day comes when I'm driving too fast down the road and blow a front tire and flip the car and die, and I'm standing before God, right? Someday I'm going to be standing before God. But this is what this means, this grace that Jesus took my place, then I united with him. So now when I'm standing before God, the great judge, and he's looking at all my actions, all my inactions, all my words, all my thoughts, all those things are flipping through, and he's looking at all those things. I am now justified. That when he sees me, he's not seeing Chad that threw rocks. He's not seeing Chad that cheated on a test. He's not seeing Chad that drives too fast. He's not seeing Chad, the dad that yells at his kids. He's not seeing any of that stuff. Because if Jesus Christ has taken my place, that when Jesus died, he took on my death. And know what I got in replace? I got the full righteousness of Jesus credited to my account. I got the full perfection of Jesus, the sinless life of Jesus. His life, what he earned, is now credited to my account. So when I stand before God, I'm not standing on my own two feet. I'm not standing by my own actions, my own words, my own thoughts. I am now standing in the perfection of Jesus. And when God looks at me, he says, you are my son, who I am well pleased. Well, I can stand freely before the Father, knowing that my life is all the things that I've done, and I try to live a good life. But even trying to live a good life, I still break things that belong to my Father. But the righteousness of Jesus has now been credited to my account, so I can have right standing before the Father, and I can stand before God without fear, knowing that his Son took my place. I have an advocate now sitting next to God, Jesus, pleading on my behalf, saying, this one's ours, Dad. This one's ours. We paid full for his life. See, that's grace. That's what God has offered us through Jesus. Grace is the unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor. Grace is not something that you can work for. Grace is not something that you can earn. Grace is something that you're given. And God has freely given us grace by letting his son take our place. Jesus willingly laid down his life to take on our consequences. I explained to my daughters, I said, Jesus took our time out. It's a little bit bigger than that because it's not just our time out. It's our eternal time out. See, Jesus took all of what we deserve, the separation from God and eternity. He took all that on. So now we can stand before God. And it's nothing that we can earn. And we can live a whole life trying to say thank you, and we'll never be able to say thank you enough. And the thing that blows my mind is that God did this willingly. He sent his son to take our place. He sent Jesus to take my place. And I said, okay, I need forgiveness. I need grace. So I accept this free gift and now I'm right standing. But there are so many people in the world that will never accept that. They'll say, I don't need to be saved. My life is good. Why do I need to be forgiven? And yet Jesus died for them. That God didn't say, hey, when you're good enough, then I'll send my son to die for you. He said, even when you were my enemies, I'm sending my son to rescue you. So even if I hate God, God still would send his son to die for me, to take my place. You know, I love my daughters. And you guys could live great lives, but I'd never sacrifice my daughters for you. I mean, I don't know. Like, just even the thought of that, of like, oh, you're going to get hit by a car here, hit my daughter instead. Like, that to me makes no sense. That is a love that is so great that God would send his one and only son to take our place, that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. See, that is the great love of God. He's given us grace when we deserve death. He's given us forgiveness when we deserve punishment. That he gives us his love when I don't know if I'm lovable. But that is the great love of God through Jesus Christ. And now we are united with him. For those of us that our identity is now in Jesus, we can go confidently before the throne of God, knowing that the full righteousness of Jesus is credited to our account. And we can stand before the Father unafraid, knowing that forgiveness has been bought for us. I'm going to keep reading here. Verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you've done, so that no one can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. You are God's masterpiece. I don't know if I deserve that title. You are God's masterpiece. When he looks at you, he says, you are my masterpiece. Sitting in your living room, sitting outside on the deck, you are God's masterpiece. He didn't want his masterpiece to be thrown in the trash. He didn't want his masterpiece to be separated from him. He loves you so much. I don't know if any of you guys are artists, but when you create something that you're proud of, you want to put it on display. You are God's masterpiece. And now you're created anew in Jesus because of God's grace. The old life, the one I read about before, the one following the inclinations and the desires and that's your subject to God's anger, that old life is gone. And when you believe in Jesus, when you put your trust and your faith in him, say, yes, I need to be saved. Yes, I need to be forgiven. Yes, I need to be led. You are now made anew in Christ Jesus. So the old things you used to do that caused destruction and damage and death are no longer the actions you take part of. It says this, it says, you're now created anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things that he planned for you long ago. See, now that you're walking in this new life, not only do you have the grace of God and the forgiveness bought through the life of Jesus, you have the right standing with the Father, and now you're no longer slaves to continue doing the bad things you used to do. The things that even in your innocence were against God's will, now you are free. You were created anew to do the good things that he planned for you. See, the old things led to death. The new things lead to life. Your new life now, walking with Jesus, you have the ability to do things that actually bring life to people, that bring life to your family, that bring life to your coworkers. You can now be bearers of the news. Hey, I once was dead, but now I'm alive. You now can bring that news to other people. So now your deeds are no longer leading to death, but your deeds can lead to life. You are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good things that he planned for you long ago. You see, God has a plan for your life. Long ago, before you were even born, he had a plan for your life. He knew the road you'd walk. He knew the mistakes you would make. And that's why he sent Jesus. So that you could return to the plan and the path that he has for you. So when you're walking with Christ, you're doing good things that are leading to life. You're made new. You view the world through a different lens, that you're no longer looking at it as someone who is dead man walking or dead woman walking. You're now a child of the living God, forgiven by the Father. See, that's the glory of the gospel. That we've been given life and we deserve death. We're given forgiveness and we deserve punishment. I can't believe what my dad did that day when he looked at a smashed car and offered forgiveness. But how much greater is what God did when he looks at how we smash up our lives and how we destroy the good thing that he's given us. And he says, I know what you did, but I forgive you. Here's my son. The worst part of the story about my dad is that was his last like cool car. His next car was a gray minivan. I feel so bad. But like, you know, we smash up God's car and he forgives us. You know, we've smashed up what God's given us. He forgives us. And I'm so thankful that my dad did that for me, that he shared that good news of Jesus to me when I was 7. And the next year, I actually was baptized. I gave my life to Christ when I was 8 and my dad baptized me. And I'm sure there are, you know, different things. He's probably holding me under the water a little bit longer or something. I don't know. No, but like, I love that I grew up in a home where that was spoken. I know there are a lot of people in the world that didn't grow up in a home where the love and forgiveness of God was modeled by their parents. But it doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter where. What matters is that you're hearing the good news about Jesus. That you know what was bought for you at a price, your forgiveness, your right standing with the Father. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned grace of God waiting for you because of what Jesus did on the cross. It is a great message of hope in a world that needs hope. It's a message of love in a world that's full of hate. It's a message of forgiveness in a world that wants to hold on to the wrongs. Guys, thank you for letting me preach today. Thank you for letting me bring this passage to you and share a little bit of my story. And my prayer for all of you guys is that either you're walking that new life and you're just wholeheartedly going at it and saying, I'm going to let people know about this good news, because just like that, there's a blind man and John who's like, you don't have to have all the answers. Just, I was blind, now I can see. And that's our story. I don't have all the answers, but I know I was dead and now I'm not. Now I'm alive. I'm forgiven. And if you're listening and maybe you're still kind of like, you're that leaning and listening, like you don't really know what you believe and you're just trying to, you're here and you're just kind of like listening. I want to let you know that God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. He sent his only son to die for you. He made that sacrifice for you so that you could be forgiven, because your Father loves you. You are his masterpiece. He wants to create you anew in Christ Jesus. There's hope for you. And that's what I want to tell you guys about today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for grace. Thank you that it wasn't on me to try to make myself right with you or to try to fix the things that I've broke. But Lord, you fixed it and you made it right and you offered forgiveness and you took the steps that I could never take for myself by sending Jesus to take my place. But now I can have grace for the things I've done. I can have grace for the things I'm doing right now. And I can have grace for the things I'm going to be doing in the future. Lord, thank you for your grace that covers my brokenness and my unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for Jesus and his righteousness and his perfection that's credited to my account. I don't deserve it. Why would you do that for me? I don't know why, but thank you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.